So here we go, worldwide live over the internet. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. I welcome everyone who is joining with this call to BBS. It is past six. Of course, nobody's ready. Right, Wynn? Right, Terry?
Right.
All right.
But you know, that is the paradox of things. When you're never ready, you're always ready. How does like kung fu work? You're never ready in kung fu or martial arts. You just hold the space, and if anyone comes into your space, you respond, right? So
I'm going to mute the lines here 1 second.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right, here we go, Wynn.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay. God, we're being recorded, and I don't even know the date. Today is September 8th, 2014. Wynn, Free, Terry Brown, and Heise Magalia,
Who lives in Minderhout? No, wait, other way around.
In Minderhout, right? And, hey, you know what? Somebody asked us for our address so they could send us a donation. So I think I'll tell you all again. You know, I don't like to be a radio preacher that says, donate. But just in case you didn't know, we pay BBS hundreds of dollars a month to be on the radio. We don't pay for the internet calls, but we pay quite a bit for the radio. And a lot of you are listening on the radio, and we never ask to reimburse us. We take the money out of other, you know, our little pendant business and whatever. But if you're so inclined, you can go to donation.intelligent-infinity.com, and you can make donations, you can make monthly pledges. You can also put money in the mail and send it to Book Talk at 2675-89A, number 1269, Sedona, 86336. Book Talk, 2675 Highway 89A, number 1269, Sedona, 86336. And I want you to know that when you make a donation, and when you buy things, when you help anything we're doing, but if you just make a pure donation, and it doesn't have to be a lot, but it's okay if it is, that you are directly. You know, the only way we expand is because we spend some money on something. We could be doing a lot more, and I'm really at this point pretty confident in what we're doing. I'm confident not because of the impact I've learned it to have on so many of you who are listening and getting great benefit. And, you know, if everyone who was on our list, everyone who was listening, gave us $5 a month, life would be so much easier for us. Because I have to prioritize my time based on how we need money. So when we start running low, I have to go, you know, drum up more pendant stores or something like that. And it's like, the more time I spend, the more people find us, the more radio shows I go on. I mean, if I had my druthers, I would do that all day. I'd be on the radio all day. I'm working on another book. So anything that you guys contribute really helps. It puts you right in the creative line. If you don't believe this, let me just say it so you get it. Maybe you'll get it. It puts you in the creative line of causing this to expand it reaches more people. You get that? It's like we have like something we're doing that's really working, and it could work for 100 people, it could work for 1,000, it could work for 1,000,000. And, you know, it's rather important that we reach people now. Rather important, because our planet is in a fairly fragile state. A lot of you that are listening, George Norrie listeners, know about all the negative stuff. And one of the things I've learned is that the higher realms respond to the consciousness of the planet. They see us as one consciousness, and that it's like the amount of interventions they do or can do is connected with that. So the more people we get, the more we've seen interventions. Those of you that have been on our Sunday calls, some of you know what I'm talking about. We've had things, we put them in the light, and something shifts. And, you know, it's not like magic, although it can seem that way when it happens. It's like the consciousness of everything that makes, we're all one being. You know, it's one way of looking at it is if you happen to be a healer or if somebody has healed you, you know, you can have like cells in your body, and your body is made up of billions of cells that all make up you. And you can start thinking about certain cells, and they can start to heal themselves. People have done this all the time. Or somebody else can project healing energy and become one with your energy and help to balance your energy. But it's not magic, although it looks like magic. It's not. It's that this realm, everything that seems solid, that's physical, really doesn't start here. It's all connected with a line of frequencies and energies that go right back to source. And that when you can tap into that line and the oneness of the universe, miracles can happen. And this planet really needs miracles right now. And we're positioned that we could reach a lot more people. And so whether you tell your friends about it, you give me suggestions, recommend me somewhere, or send money, for those of you that have been on the calls long enough to get it, to get that it's real, and that for most of the time when I'm talking to people or new people, I say, the voice that says they're the Elohim, you have to decide. But so many of you have gotten it, and it's not something you can arrive at by believing it. It's something that you have to watch it for a period of time and see how it works, see its deviations. Obviously, somebody's talking to us. They say they're the Elohim. I don't see negative in it. I had to ask myself, really, when this first started, I said, am I sure I have something that's positive? It's not imitating something else? Or is this a negative something trying to get inroads that has really got an agenda? And, you know, I started to understand the Elohim's agenda, because as the creators of this realm and as observing for trillions of years this realm, and as observing it go astray, and that there's suffering. Now, people think they can fix it. You can say, just wave your magic finger. I used to think that when we first started talking. You know, they just wave their magic finger and everything shifts. But they've explained in great detail on our calls how it works. And we have a series called How the Elohim Created the Universe. And for me, the way they answer these kinds of questions is really, really amazing, because it's like, if they're not who they say they are, how could they answer the questions so real? You know, they never patronize me, and I don't need to patronize them. They talk to us, you know, kind of in a sense of equality. But there is a game in being in a body of sorts, and it has rules to it, and it has a lot of potential for oppression, hurt, sorrow, etc. And there are keys to getting over that. And it's not as simple as just say, believe in God and everything fixes itself. And so we have gotten so many of those keys in the course of doing our calls. We have 1,000 calls online. And just because we give them away for free, it doesn't diminish it. In fact, it's probably, if you really get it, it's probably one of the most profound offerings you're going to find on this planet. And, you know, Carla Ruckert has thousands of calls on her website, thousands of sessions. She doesn't do it over conference calls. She was doing it at her house, but she would record them. And, of course, Carla is channeling the Ra Group, and the Ra Group is the group soul made of graduates, and the Elohim Group is the group soul made up of beings that didn't come into this realm, and they both group souls have their kind of, how can I say it, expertise. Whereas the Ra Group, because they've been here, they know what it's like to be trapped. They know what it takes to graduate this realm, have great, great wisdom in areas where the Elohim may not have it. The Elohim is very wise, but they're wise from, at least if we got all our P's and Q's correct, the Elohim is wise vicariously, because they can watch us. They can see what's happening. They have communicated to people, and they could feel the suffering that can happen in this realm. But they're not wise in the sense of having been trapped here and not being able to get out, which is the Ra Group has that kind of wisdom. So whereas the Elohim Group can look at suffering, the Ra Group has suffered. They have been there and done that. And so we're having access to both groups, and particularly with Carla Ruckert online. If you didn't listen to the Saturday session, that's a brilliant series we've done, The Law of One Made Simple, because people don't understand the Ra Group from reading them. And it includes a free book. It includes a PDF of book one of The Law of One. So, you know, this is an immense thing we are offering to people, offering to the planet. It's so much information that has never been actually been here before. And you guys are privy to it. So, and you guys have taught us how important it is, because I thought it was important, but I didn't know until somebody used it and changed their life, and I started to see how it worked and how the importance worked. One thing I want to mention is every Wednesday night we have a call where you can submit questions, and we ask them directly. So if you've never taken advantage of that, please do. For one reason is that pretty soon, my gut-level instinct tells me, we are going to have a huge expansion of people interested in our work. And, you know, right now, most people get their questions answered. If not this week, the second week or third week. But that could come to an end where I just have to pick the very best questions. And this is a chance to ask a question. The best questions, in my opinion, are about your own life and your obstacles. And they have a way of answering those things that can really trigger things and help you overcome your obstacles. Another thing is that I asked a question a long time ago, and the question went something like this. When somebody asks a question to the Elohim, is there any benefit other than the answer to their question? In other words, if they give a wise answer to a question, are there any benefits beyond that? And their answer was really unexpected to me. They say when somebody asks a question, they have to move into the person's energy field to look at that person to answer the question. And when they go back from their energy field back to where they are, then they leave a track that if the person chooses to follow it, they can make an easier connection with the higher realms. That is a very subtle thing. And when they said it, I was very much a newbie myself, and I was just observing that because I don't like to say anything is true until I can personally validate it. And I've watched how this works enough, and that on these calls, we've had, you know, many people have had the experience at the time they answered that question. I didn't have quite the experience that I do now. That was in, I believe, 2003. But now I can see they can move their energies right into our space, and we can feel them. Many of us have that experience on these calls. And they're not bound by space. They're not bound by time. In other words, people that listen to the calls on the replays can gain the same access to that energy as people that listen when it's live. And so it's pretty darn amazing. And if you haven't sent a question in and you're listening to these calls, take advantage, okay? I usually give priority to people that are first-time question askers. And it's really perfect. Don't think your question is dumb. That's and if it's an embarrassing question, if you want me to use your initials, I'll use your initials, but I'll put your city in, okay? Because I have observed their ability to take what might be considered a dumb question and turn it around in the answer so it's really meaningful. And another thing that's very cool about the way they answer questions is this is they don't approach anything like a psychic might approach it. They never answer anything in a way that disempowers you. It always empowers you. They don't usually make decisions for you. And so many people that have asked questions have had some kind of epiphany, awareness in their consciousness after the question. So I don't even know what's going on because they answer the question and it's like, I don't know the person. I don't know the connection to that person. Sometimes I do. Oftentimes I do. But sometimes I don't. And I kind of just let it go by. And then I get an email from somebody that tells me how profound it was. So I'm just another guy here in the middle of this experience. And we're experiencing it together. And I thank all of you who keep holding the space for these lines so diligently. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Are we recording? Yeah, we are recording. Okay, you're not ready. I'm not ready. And the house is quiet, right? All right.
In order to be ready, I'd have to prepare, and I don't even know what's going to happen.
Right. Okay. Well, I prepared a little bit. I decided the topic, the way this works is, I said, maybe this is a good night to do how the Elohim created the universe. I ran into the other room. I said, Terry, what do you think? I'll tell you what, before I call in the light and bring them in, although they're already here and the light's already here, let me just do a very, very quick synopsis. And if you go to the spiritchannel.net, we do have the history. There's probably 7 or 8 calls, at least. If you put in how the Elohim created the universe, you can listen to the series. And I think it's one of the most interesting series of calls from the Elohim that you can imagine. And so, originally, there was just, remember, time and space. We live in time and space, and we take for granted that time is real and space is real. We have our clocks running. We take a walk. We move from one area to another. And our muscles get tired when we walk. So this is a very persuasive illusion, except according to our sources, it's all a big hologram projection. And it's like we're in the hologram. And so we operate it from where we sit. So to know this doesn't mean necessarily you can jump out of the hologram, although it might give you some keys on how to expand into a higher place in that hologram. Originally, there was very little space. There was no space, I should say. There was no such thing as space. There were spirit forms. And before there were spirit forms, there was one awareness. And the one awareness subdivided and kept subdividing and kept subdividing because it was lonely. And how did the one awareness start? That's a mystery. It was like there was chaos, and somehow chaos became aware of itself. And so now there's millions of additional awarenesses around this original awareness, which they refer to as the one infinite creator. And, you know, if you think about it, once you are, you need a purpose. What's the reason to be alive? What's the reason to be the Elohim? What's the reason to be a rod loop? What's the reason? What's the motivation to exist? And, you know, the motivation to exist comes from the way we meet each other and the importance we are to each other. And so somebody that's suffering actually creates an opportunity for someone else to be important to them, and that creates a reason to exist. Okay, now if you take that and go back to the Elohim, here you have this group energy, group soul energy, no bodies, just energy. And there has to be at least some idea of time, because without time, you can't exist, because there can't be memory. And there has to be a before and an after. And you're positioned somewhere in the middle of before and after. And as long as there's a before and after, there's time. So time is part of existence. And so these original awarenesses, the Elohim, for keeping it simple, learned how to vibrate frequencies. And I'm not going to pretend I understand this. I'll try to do my best job of saying what they said to me. They vibrated frequencies, and they could project frequencies, and that were a number of them were projecting frequencies, or maybe just two. The frequencies would come together in a node, and the node would become a point in space-time. And that became a point in the material universe, the beginnings of it. And as they got good at it, they could project galaxies, they could project all kinds of stuff. You know what? People always ask me the question, how about the Big Bang Theory? I'm going to ask them that tonight. So now we have a universe, and we have mostly a mineral kingdom, and then it becomes life. And when I asked them about life, they talked about the amoeba being the first life form. They talked about DNA. And DNA was a creation that was allowing an interface between the energetic universe and the physicalized universe. Because DNA responds to energy. And so DNA involved, animals involved, beings involved, and there were Elohim souls that did come into this realm. And originally, they could go back and forth, just like the Elohim who speaks to Terry. As far as we know, they're not trapped. They could come in and go back. But the Elohim that came in a while back ago got trapped. And the reason they got trapped is they started to experience sex through some of the beings they were occupying. And the sex pulled them in to the physical universe in a way that they couldn't leave. And then they got caught into reincarnation. Some of them, Elohim souls in this realm, tend to be more powerful than other beings here. And so they lost the memory that they were Elohim souls. Some of them did, and some of them didn't. But nonetheless, they were in a realm where power and money ruled. In other words, in the higher realms, there's nothing to win or lose. There's nothing to gain advantage of another being. But in the physicalized realm, there was something to win and lose. Because in this realm, life is more comfortable when you have lots of money. And life is more comfortable when you have power. Now, I'm not saying that's absolutely true, because it's not. You don't need lots of money to be comfortable, and you don't need power to be comfortable. But for many people, it's very important. And so the Elohim had the ability, the Elohim souls in this realm had the ability to create dominion over other beings. And they did. And biblically speaking, they could be called fallen angels. The Bible even says the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. We had earlier session where we learned that if you haven't researched the work of Michael Tillinger or Zachariah Sitchin, talk about ETs that were Elohim derivatives, they were called the Anunnaki, who came and mined gold and created men by genetic experimentation. And the original beings were hybrids between Anunnaki and apes. And on many, many of us to be descendants of those beings. And so the Anunnaki were attempting to control the humans by playing God, so to speak. And so if you look at all the material we've covered in our calls, you will find out that many of the gods in the Old Testament were actually Anunnaki vying for control of the humans in this realm. And but I don't want to go deeply into that. We've gone into that on other Monday night calls, and it's coming close where we start to catalog our Monday night calls, because we have some calls that are just total gems, mind-blowing, and they're hard to find because they're lost. We have 1,000 calls posted, and so the ones that are strong, they're all good, I think, but there's some that are just extraordinary breakthrough understandings that I put together, and based on my cross-referencing the web and channeling, asking questions to our sources through Terry. And but we've covered this material. We want to go back to the beginning, one of the things that came up in a recent call was the celestial Elohim were working with some of the terrestrial beings that were derivative of them. And the whole creation was really started out initially with the celestial Elohim, and then it ended up becoming a celestial Elohim. And it seems like eventually, to a great degree, the terrestrial Elohim wrested control from the celestial Elohim, and that did things that were no longer co-creative, but just in their own minds, and sometimes for self-serving purposes. So if I have all my ideas correct, the voice that speaks through Terry is the celestial Elohim. And the ones that did not take bodies, the ones that were part of the creation of the universe. So I'm going to call in the light, and we'll just see where my line of questioning goes today. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in a flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. Do we have our sources present?
Yes, we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra on September 8th, 2014. And we take a moment and we orient and we move into your density. And then we expand in your density. And we are a very high frequency. Do you have questions?
Yes. As I was doing my introduction and talking about some of the things we've learned, was I fairly correct, or is there any corrections that you'd like to make?
You were fairly correct. As we move through the areas, we can comment on your questions.
Okay. Well, to begin with, did all the celestial Elohim work together as the physical universe was created, or was just a portion of them?
Well, it started out with the one being, being all that is, the one being undifferentiated. And in order for there to be pictures, and for there to be vibration, and for there to be sound, there has to be something to bounce again, to resonate with, to be a sounding board for, to be one that observes and one that creates, and one then can create and the other can observe. So there has to be two for there to be the transfer of connection, the transfer of energy, the transfer of life, the existence, the creation of life, the electricity between one terminal and another terminal. So there has to be two in order for existence to occur. It started out with one being, and then it went. You had mentioned the Big Bang. It went to an overlap or a wave based upon a hologramic picture that looped back over on itself and created a sound. It created a vibration, and it could be felt between the two parts of the overlap, and it vibrated through all of everything, which did not have a lot of mass, did not have mass, but it created mass when it overlapped and created a sounding board for vibration. Does this make sense?
Well, you're talking about the one infinite creator, the way they created the Elohim. He created the Elohim, or are we talking about the way the Elohim created everything else, or is it both? It's both the same idea of creation, yes?
It started with the one being, and then there was two beings that were created. And from that, the idea went forward, and there were more beings created. The Elohim weren't a team or a crew at that point. The Elohim formed from the individuals that spun off from the overlapping of the one.
Are there still beings being created in the higher realms right now?
There are beings being created, yes.
Has the production maintained, or has it gone down?
It has gotten more refined to be able to make models that then train the energies, build the energies, compartmentalize the energies, so that you then have an energy being who then develops a light body and can independently go down the track.
Mm-hmm. And so when a new being gets formed, it's not being formed from the one infinite creator, is it? It's being formed by the Elohim creating it within their own sub-network.
Yes.
And
it is part of the one infinite creator. It is,
right.
The fabric is made out of the one infinite creator, which has been overlapped in ways to create viable energy.
Mm-hmm. Now, when there's a decision to bring a new being in, how's the decision made? Is it made from one or two Elohim that say they're going to help, how would we say it, bring this thing up or trade it, whatever? Who makes the decision to bring a new being into that fold?
There's not... Well, you can start, say, with the husband and the wife who have a baby, and they bring a new baby into the realm. However, that can be a child, an energy child that takes the body and then works with the body as a whole. That is one level. There is a section of the Elohim that makes models of bodies and loosely puts the energies together to train the energies to act and be focused and to go forward in a uniform way. There are geneticists in the lower levels that also work with genetics, but the Elohim work more on a creation of a model basis.
And so, do these new energies, do they hit the ground running, or do they go through a training period?
Give us a moment.
Hello? Okay.
They do not generally hit the ground running, as it is like with a new machine or a new newborn. They need to get gradually the experience to be able to be operational.
Okay. And now the Elohim has the ability... They've created the physical universe. They've created the bodies, but then they allow the universe to evolve on the individual motivation and creativity of each subset in the universe. And sometimes that has caused perhaps devolution instead of evolution. Do you want to comment on that?
Yes. Once something is in motion, and as it is in motion, it can be changed more easily since it is in motion, then other individuals can take the motion or take the energy body and can use it in ways that they would like to see fit. Usually, they don't have enough knowledge to be able to wisely choose how to build from the model to build a working, grounded being with a body.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I found really fascinating in an early answer to a question, and maybe I'll elaborate on that for a couple of minutes here, and that was in this realm on Earth, there was the question of how does this, not all beings that come into this realm are directly Elohim. Elohim are being created at higher levels, and yet there's new beings being formed in this realm. And the answer to the question a long time ago was that DNA created a attraction to pull energy out. Make sure I get this right. I want you to verify it. It pulled energy out of the field, and the energy would form around the DNA, and that energy that formed around the DNA would be what we call the soul, and then that life form would continue. And as it had experience, the energy around it would shift, the DNA would shift, and then when the life form dropped its physical body, the energy form around it would keep existing, would now have a identity, would have a fine outline to it, and it would continue and would find another body. Now we're involved in reincarnation. But there's a point where there's a new energy forming around. And I wanted to you to try to explain that in a little more refined way, because that seems like an incredible concept that I never heard anyone else say that. Where does the soul come from? And was I fairly accurate in my description?
Yes. It is the DNA that can start and can evolve and can move. However, when the Elohim creates a model, they put it there, and in a hologramic form, and then the DNA can become a part of the structure and works as you have mentioned, to pull in the energy, the spinningness, the rotation of the energy molecules, pull in the energy that forms and takes shape according to the projected model, all in the energy area of the universe. And the whole thing then begins to live and have experience, which then makes it separate, because no two beings have the same experiences. So everyone has slightly different energies.
So what I heard you say there, let me play it back, was that the Elohim can create a model or a template, and then somehow that template can form a DNA around it to match the template. Is that true?
DNA can form from the energies in a closed system. So if you make an energy model, then DNA can begin to form in the model.
Okay. Well, the Elohim then has a lot of mastery over this universe that they have created. Yes? But
well,
they do not. But they do not. Okay, let me just finish my thought and I'll turn it right back to you.
Yes.
They don't. Because it's created with free will, they can't mastery do something where it would violate the free will of what they've created. Is that an absolute truth?
Well, when they are in the process of creating, they can change the creation. But once they have let it go and it is operating under its own control, then it is under a number of potentials for revision based upon the solar system that it's in, based upon the setup that the logos, the main star has made for an area. So it is depending upon the parameters that have been established in the environment. And when you make a model, it is under a controlled environment. And so you are establishing a format for the process to go on.
In other words, I can kind of visualize that. The whole universe is mapped out with constellations, star systems, and each one has got its own intention, its own creative energy around it. And then there's little things like the sun has planets, and planets have people, and each thing is in the matrix, so it has to be in the matrix of, like a human has to be in the matrix of the Earth. And the Earth has to be in the matrix of the solar system. The solar system has to be in the matrix of the sun, and so on. So every being that comes in a given location is surrounded by all those energies of things that would be of a higher matrix than it, so to speak, and has to format itself to fit into that. And then there's a level of free will within the format.
Yes, and there is also the astrology aspect, where the stars, energy-wise, have an effect that generally is unknown to most people.
And it's 6:56. If you guys like this, email me, and maybe we'll do another session soon. To me, I always have aha experiences when we cover this topic.